And I have an awful time keeping them straight, but the last time at Anchorage, Henry was there with his wife, and they have a daughter that's, I'll say crippled, sitting in the movie there with that little off seat, and we just went to see the movie, something to do, and the lights came on, and this guy says, "Jack." And it was good old Henry. So happy to see me after all these years. But aviation has been good to me. I still get a little rumpled when people do things wrong. And as you know, I've been one of those that will call you up and friendly say, "Why did this happen?"
Or, right, right. You know. Yeah.
And that's the way aviation is.
Right.
And the idea behind it all, living in Kodiak and all over the, pretty well Alaska, is to keep aviation safe.
Right.
We all have accidents. We've all lost good friends. I know, you know, on this island, many people have been lost.
Sure.
And even though I'm an accident guy, and I know the feds are investigating and all that, one of the big ones we just had, I finally walked up to the operator probably 3 weeks after it happened. And I know the feds have talked to him, and the NTSB's talked to him, and they've looked at the wreckage and all this, and people are gone. And, but by that time, you can get the person to honestly sit down and evaluate what happened. And nothing's going to correct it,
right,
except maybe some procedure in the company, but you're not going to bring the people back.
Right.
But at least the operator, whoever air service it is, will sit down and reevaluate his training program, reevaluate his thoughts on weather, what's the limits going to be.
Right.
I mean, we know out here it's, for you guys, is what, a mile and...
502.
Yeah. So, but we know that other people, and not necessarily on this island, are flying less than that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
They're not staying clear of the clouds. Mm. They're pushing it. And that's what I think, is the purpose of all the safety foundation, everybody else that tries to get these people to think before they perform.
Right.
And I'm not sure we're winning.
Right.
You know, I'm. Some accidents are not accidents. We had one, I think, the other day was a plane tied to the back of a boat and it came loose. Adios plane.
Right.
That's something that happens, and no one's hurt. That's the big thing. But how Pacific do you want to get away from Kodiak? This is bad terrain here. We know.
Yeah.
That.
Oh yeah.
And people say, "I know this. I know that." Now the accident that occurred up by the ski chalet, and I'm not going to name it an air service. That accident there probably was precipitated by the fact that everybody else got through. And this person thought he could get through, and maybe it was lack of experience.
Yep, could have been.
Maybe some of them didn't have to be there.
Right, right.
I looked over the site and I couldn't believe what happened, and I thought, well, I could see what happened, but I don't believe it happened. And that's, you know, 30 years of my experience that, I guess I never thought when I became a little private pilot that I was going to do anything else besides fly my wife and kids around and enjoy it.
Right.
But the more I got into this, I don't enjoy accident prevention, but it's a necessary evil.
Right.
And especially here.
Right. Well, like aviation's grown so much. When Kodiak Western was here, they probably just had a couple docks downtown with Super Cubs on them. Now you don't even see a Super Cub anymore. It's all Beavers.
Right. Well, no, we didn't. We had a Beaver. We had, we had one Beaver in Dillingham. I think the only one we had. The rest were single otters.
Mm-hmm.
We had two of them at one time. We had six of the goose category. And there was one, two, three widgets at the time.
But Kodiak Western, they pretty much had what Penn Air has now, the Peninsula and Kodiak.
Penn Air, of course, came off from Peninsula Airways. And that's why you're seeing all the Cherokees.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have any Cherokees.
Uh-huh.
We were talking in the category of 206, 207, up through the Goose. And then we had the 401, 402. And then we got a Martin 404. And then we went to a DC-4. And that was sort of about at the bitter end there.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened in the airplane. DC-4 was sold to somebody, I remember the Martin blew an engine and it went south. They sold to somebody else. The Gooses were bought by employees. Hal bought one.
Hal is Hal Dierick. And now is that what he started Hal's Air Service with?
Right.
Was it?
Right. Yeah.
Did you work? You worked with him too,
right.
Didn't you?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I worked with after Hal and his passing, I went to. I didn't do much except with Flyrite, and I didn't do any of their air taxi. I did some of their check pilot duties.
Uh-huh.
I did some of their teaching Fred Patterson to fly floats.
Uh-huh.
I think he had the rating, but he didn't have a lot of time.
Right.
So I worked with him for a while. And I taught other people to fly floats, Captain Crum from the Coast Guard.
Uh-huh.
And I sort of hung around after that. And Hal upset me because of losing him, and the business went under real quick. Although something unique about that is the fact that when somebody perishes in an aircraft accident, and if you're in the business with the guy as far as collecting bills and trying to get everything done and all this, and closing the business up to everybody's satisfaction, we ended up with no lawsuits, and we had 100% collection from all the bills.
Huh.
Some of them you had to call them at night,
yeah.
Ring the bell. But we had 100% collection of all the bills because the gentleman was liked so much.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to make sure that his widow got what she deserved.
Right.
And they did it.
Right.
And it was amazing. One of the few times I saw that.
Although Kodiak, I think, is better than most areas for that. It's a pretty tight little community.
It's small. The people know everybody. I still see people up in the terminal that remember me from Kodiak Western. Village leaders that you just said, gee, I wonder how they're doing.
Yeah.
When I was down in Oregon 2 years ago, I made a phone call up here to my home, and I got one of these operators, which is AT&T, or one of those outfits, and she said, do you live in Kodiak? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, well, I'm Julie Lactonin. And I said, oh, I know your dad. I think it's Larson Bay.
Uh-huh.
She said, you do? I said, sure I do. And she said, did you ever fly with Kodiak Airways or Kodiak Western? I said, yes, I did. Oh, I remember you. You're sort of the big guy. I said, yeah, you got it. So it's a tight world here. Most people think aviation. I remember years back, people said, close Louis Lake. It's a detriment to safety. And yet when that meeting came that night, there was a couple people wanting to close it, but the majority of the citizens that lived on Lily Lake didn't want it closed. When they bought their homes, they knew that airplane noise was going to be there.
Yeah, that's a switch, huh?
And it is. And I sat there and said, I don't believe it, but it's right. Because a lot of these people built homes on Lily Lake to sit on their outdoor porches and watch the planes take off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you came into Lily Lake and had a problem, there was 10 people rushing out there to swim to you.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. But Kodiak is an aviation-oriented community.
Right.
And so is King Salmon.
Oh, yeah. Well, all of Alaska, really.
All of Alaska.
Yeah.
All of Alaska is the same way. You can go Merle Field and Anchorage, and you know people there, and they're happy to see if you haven't seen them in 10 years.
Yeah. Now, Sierra, you were talking about Sierra. They bought Kodiak Western.
Right.
Is that how they got their start? Or Sierra was out of Anchorage, right?
No, they were in Anchorage.
Right.
They were in Anchorage. They came here. They bought Kodiak Western. They moved out here to the airfield by what is now Northern Air Cargo.
Right.
And that lot over there. And they were flying, I know they had a helicopter, an old helicopter that took a 985 engine.
Oh, that S-58. Yeah.
And I remember the first time it left here, it went down to Old Harbor and picked a bunch of people up and came back. And one of them was a village elder, and I said, how did you like the trip? He said, well, it nearly shook my insides out. He said, I'm not getting an F-ing. And they didn't have any wings,
yeah.
The helicopter, you know, and he couldn't see the propeller out there, and that really bothered him.
Yeah.
And I think that pretty well fell out of grace real quick. But they did have an Amphib 206, and they had
They had an amphib turbine beaver for a while.
They had a beaver.
And they had twin otters, right? But they didn't do those to the villages, did they?
Well, yeah, that beaver was on floats.
Yeah.
That one. And he would service some of the villages. I know he used to do a couple of lodges like that. At that time, maybe Silver Bay.
Uh-huh.
They picked that up and part of the logging company. And of course, the logging company started bringing in their own pilots and their own airplanes.
Right.
So that worked pretty well. They didn't stay around real long. They bought this hangar up here and on the state airport, and then economics got
them. Yeah. Well, he was doing pretty good, but he didn't want to deal with the liability or something. He just quit. He didn't really go bankrupt.
He didn't go bankrupt, but I'm saying in a sense economics was too much.
Sure.
Because they still had the Lake Hood base section, and they had this section, and this was not quite working.
Yeah.
And then they had a couple accidents that turned them down. They had the girl over in Gillingham that went down in the mountains going towards Togiak, who used to fly out of Kodiak. I don't know why that
happened. Yeah.
I've read reports on it, but I'm not sure. But I think Kodiak has been a big turmoil. Now, Island Air, which is now, used to be SCAT, years back.
SCAT.
South Central Air.
Uh-huh.
What do they call it? They called it SCAT. That's back in the days of...
Well, Fogneck Natives owned that for a while, didn't they?
Yeah, Dave Henley, the senior. Who else flew out of there? Harry Acor. Bill Blewett flew out of there for a while, I believe.
Wasn't Riley working for them or flying for them, too?
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah.
I think he was. And that did pretty good. They never had anything serious happen with them. They had the one widgeon that went in the lake one day, but that's because the guy was taxiing the opposite way on the runway and didn't call anybody.
Uh-huh.
That's long before we had a little requirement to call a tower.
Right.
And so the widgeon hopped over them and ended up in the lake. So, and minor injuries.
Uh-huh.
We went down there and old Riley Morton saw what we were stuck without a boat, and people are standing on top of the airplane trying to get ashore. It was upside down. They were standing on the hull and every place else. And one guy had a little baby in his arms. So Riley finally fired up his little Super Cub and zipped out there and shut it down and got right alongside and put everybody on his floats.
Huh. Well.
And then he just cranked it enough to get to shore.
Now, who did Steve Harvey's dad fly for? Was that...
SCAT.
That was SCAT.
I don't know if it was South Central or... They call it SCAT, so I know.
Uh-huh.
Steve Harvey Jr. would know.
Right.
You know.
And he
was killed at Municipal in
Beach 18, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was one of the first wing-off problems that started that whole...
They were talking about spars and all that and that. And I guess that finally came to pass where the... I know there was a lawsuit involved for years and years and years.
Uh-huh.
And then the wings showed up at our place at Kodiak Airways.
Uh-huh.
And the lawyers came and everybody came and then finally understand that Steve Harvey and his mom... Actually, I guess his mom is the one that suited for it.
Uh-huh.
And I guess they got a settlement or something.
Right.
I didn't know much about it. I know they went down. There was two people in that plane that day. His dad and I don't know who else. There's another guy involved. But I think they were both killed.
Uh-huh.
And that, just to throw an accident out, the lawyer argued that there was frost on the wings, and that's the reason it went down. Fred Ross, the lead mechanic from Kodiak Airways, had just gotten to work when they started their takeoff roll, and he'd been an A&P for, I don't know, eons. He said there was no frost whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But the sun was out, he would have seen it.
Yeah.
So he was sort of an expert witness.
Right.
And, I wasn't here, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's sad. I think aviation's taking a turn for the better, though.
Yeah.
I think we're getting smart enough to put a little bit more safety measures in place.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking about Steve Harvey.
Yeah. So how about, let's see, what other ones do I remember? There was ATS, Fred Ball. Now there's an aviation family.
That sort of started after Kodiak Airways went out.
Uh-huh.
Air Transport Services, he called it.
Right.
Had it up here in Island Hop Hangar.
Was he another one that bought a goose from Kodiak Western?
He bought it from somebody. I don't know where that one came from.
That was the Blue Goose, right? I mean, that started out
as... 932 is the number on it. But I don't know where it came from originally. I don't think... It might have been Kodiak Western. Uh-huh. I don't know. I'm trying to sit back and think of all the pilots we had.
Oh, yeah.
Jim Clements and all them guys that flew them for a long time.
Yeah.
And the number rings a bell, but I don't... In my little thing down there, I'm not sure I could remember that number.
Right.
I remember Hal's number, and I remember 4 or 5 Deltas sunk with a bear in it, and over in Geographic.
What was that?
Well, they had tranquilized a bear.
Uh-huh.
And the weather got bad, and they were over by Geographic, and the pilot decided to set down there for a while. The plane ended up inverted. And the story I got was the bear woke up. A little hard for me to swallow. But evidently they swam ashore, and unfortunately they almost died of hypothermia.
The guy, was there more than one guy?
Yeah, pilot plus, I think, fishing game or fishing wildlife officials on
it. I thought maybe you meant the guy and the bear swam ashore.
No, evidently the bear drowned as a result of it, but I don't know if it was still tranquilized or drowned after it went in, or... I think if it was coming out of the tranquilization when the doors started opening, that bear would be gone too, but I never got the straight story.
Yeah.
I know when we pulled the goose up that the bear was still in it. And it was brought back to Kodiak. They were going to do some sort of necropsy on it, whatever they do. I know when the goose taxied it in that day with that bear, they salvaged everything they could before they raised it. The one pilot had this big black lab, and he knew it was his friend, his master coming home, and as soon as the door opened, and then a ladder went down, that old lab jumped in that airplane, saw that bear, was gone. Yeah, it was funny. Old chap came out of that place, just looked like he turned in midair. But I don't know what happened there. That was an interesting situation. We'll never know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think the pilot will ever change his story. And the poor fishing game people almost froze it up on the beach waiting to get picked up.
Yeah.
Were not in good shape.
Yeah.
But they all survived real well.
Huh.
Said something to it. And we had survival gear in that aircraft.
Yeah.
And it came within 20 yards of the beach as it was floating upside down. And nobody wanted to go out there and get that can, which was right inside the back door, and the door was open.
Yeah.
They said, well, it was so cold. I said, you weren't going to get much colder, but at least you had heat at that point.
Yeah.
Get a fire started. Well, yeah. They didn't do it, and that's why they almost succumbed to it.
Huh.
And we've had other, as you know, accidents up in the mountains here.
Well, there's a ton of them all around Kodiak, but there is they name the hills after them. There's Willie's Mountain and Frank's Valley and Howard's Valley and
And we had a single one we had over in King Salmon there that we used to fly to Pilot Point. Sometimes we'd get out of hiding or something like that. And for years I flew over an airplane going that way, say going to Chignik or someplace down that side. I said to Johnny Ball, who's Fred's dad and eons of hours in the air, I said to him, Johnny, what's that wreck? World War II. That's all you ever got out, World War II. There's a bunch of scrap metal by Dillingham over there, which was some plane from World War II. And a couple of years ago, I was hunting in Mother Goose Lake, and everybody was flying back and forth, and finally one of the planes stopped by our camp. I said, what are you guys doing? Oh, we got an old World War II wreckage over here. It still has bones and ID, and that's, you mean right down from, yeah. I said, I flew all that many times. I get those World War II wreck, and everything's accounted for.
Huh.
But it still had the remains of the people in it.
Huh.
And that was, a couple years ago?
Yeah, I remember seeing that in the paper. Yeah.
I flew over it all the time.
Huh.
So then I started questioning when I saw them.
Yeah.
We had one in King Salmon. I know they looked for it for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And finally one day somebody saw a little piece of the tail with the right sunlight and everything.
Yeah.
And it was one of the little jets they were looking for.
Yeah.
Hadn't found it yet, but they found it that day.
Did it? And have they ever found Paul?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That went like a year or something before they found him, didn't they?
Yeah. He was in what they call Ghost Rocks. You know where those are, right? It's out of Old Harbor when you come out around the corner there.
Uh-huh.
There's a sort of a shale area up in there, and they call that Ghost Rocks. He hit that evidently, you know, when it was snowing.
Yeah.
And evidently the snow covered him up.
Right.
And he was on fire after he hit. I remember we searched 3 days for him.
Yeah.
And the Coast Guard was on top, and all the little guys were down here in the helicopters. We never found a trace.
Yeah.
And then about a year after that, a girl by the name of Lynn Murphy, I think you've heard of her, she used to fly a little lake amphibian. She used to go down to Sitkanak. She actually used to go to Sitkalitik and all that. And she was coming back, well, we'll say almost at the beginning of summer, and as she flew by there, she caught this color. So she circled and looked, and it was the tail of Paul's airplane.
Yeah. Well, he had a pretty distinctive color. It was red or purple or something, right? Yeah,
real bright.
Yeah.
And she caught it and made a circle, and that was the wreckage.
Huh.
And then state troopers and Ralph, who was their chief pilot.
Ralph Wright.
Right.
Yeah.
Went down, and but there was nothing left.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they recovered his watch and a ring.
Yeah.
And the rest was not... I don't think there was enough remains to even gather them.
Right.
Because the plane had burned fiercely with 100-octane fuel.
Sure.
So there wasn't much left. But it's a place I go by once in a while and sort of think about Paul. And he had a good business going with Flywright. His wife carried it on for another year or two, and then she just said it was too much for her.
Yeah.
But he had a good reputation. And that's what, you know, Kodiak thrived on.
Yeah.
You know, right now... We got plenty of airplanes, but we got a lot of rivalry, of course.
Right.
It's not good.
It's better than other places, though.
The
pilots take care of each other here.
Right.
I noticed that. Down in Southeast, Ketchikan and Takwan, and so you don't even talk to the other air services pilots.
No.
And here, we talk to each other all the time, getting weather reports, and we take pretty good care of each other, you know.
Yeah.
It is. There's definitely a rivalry there, and there's definitely... you know, people undercutting in prices and undercutting in maintenance and, you know, that kind of stuff. But
well, we had, even though I was Kodiak Western and we were sort of a separate entity, we had the mail contract for here in the Bay Area, and we really had a going thing. And yet, you're sitting on the King Salmon Ramp, and you have Kodiak Western, you have Wien Air Alaska, and then you have Peninsula Airways. That's back when Peninsula was there. That was it. And one day I had a flap problem, and I taxied in. The flaps wouldn't come up, and I did everything. They wouldn't come up. And I walked over to the hangar there, and I said to this guy, I'm not an A&P mechanic, but I got a problem. I said, how about some advice? And he said, what's the problem? I told him. He said, I think it's your micro switch. And I had no idea where a micro switch was. And he went out there and sprayed it and worked. It worked fine. And I said, what do I owe you? He said, you don't owe me nothing.
Yeah.
He's just helping you out.
Yeah.
And then one day I went down to South Macneck, and Penn Air was stuck there with one of their little planes. And I said, what's the deal? He says, I need a mechanic, but he says, I need to get these passengers to King Salmon. And I said, why don't I take the passengers for you? And I'll bring a mechanic back because I'm going to Pilot Point. And I really had nothing for Pilot Point. It was a pickup.
Right.
So I went back and I dropped the passengers off, and I picked up his mechanic and dropped him off in South Macneck and went on to Pilot Point. That night they came over and said, hey, we'll give you the fares for them passengers. I said, what passengers? I'm not authorized to carry your passengers. What's the matter with you?
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
But that was the deal, that if you needed help, everybody was there to help you. I picked up a few of their pilots. They picked up one of mine one day. It's a camaraderie that is nice.
Yeah.
We had a station manager order before me, had everybody at odds with him because he didn't understand that we're all in the same business.
Right.
So if you get up to this village and this guy's got a busted leg and it just happened, it don't matter who carries him out of there.
Right.
Get him to the hospital.
Right. Yep.
And I don't care what it costs.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to a nighttime experience, kids are out on snowmobiles. One kid rolls a snowmobile, breaks his leg pretty bad. 3 o'clock in the morning, King Salmon, darker than pitch. Knock on the door. You get up and walk, so what can I help you? Oh, you're with the FAA. I know you. You're in the tower. Yeah, well, my kid just broke his leg on a snow machine. And he got him stabilized, but I really got to get him to Dillingham. Now, we're talking 3 o'clock in the morning on a dark winter night.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you're a pilot too, aren't you? He said, oh, yeah. I said, well, you sit in the right seat, I sit in the left, let's load him. And I took him over there and left him. Next morning on mail run, I went there, and this guy said, how much room you got? I said, I got plenty of room. I just got mail going back. He said, can you take my boy home? I said, sure.
Yeah.
So I took him home to King Salmon. And then the guy comes in with his checkbook. I said, what's that for? Well, he said, I want to pay for those trips. I said, let's put it this way. Compliments of Kodiak Western. We took care of your medical problem. And your boy's happy and he's safe. And that's all that matters.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. That's a... You know, you hear all the time, different air service, somebody will fly over and see a tarp on the beach.
Right.
Well, they know it's not their group, but they'll get here and they'll call all the other air services and say, do you have somebody at the fish and game cabin in Vicoda? Well, yeah, we do. Well, they got a tarp up, and that means they need pickup. They need some kind of assistance. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
We had an unfortunate one years back where 100 shot another one by mistake. It was getting dark. And, Hal went by, it was his, our group, but Hal went by on that way. We had a habit of trying to fly over our hunting sites as we went someplace else. And when he got there, there was this big tarp out. So he stopped, and this other guy, of course, was deceased. But Hal just turned around, forgot his other trip, because he had another pickup, and just came back to town, got the state troopers, took them out there, you know, and got everything squared away. Brought the body back, and the state troopers, you know, found out what happened. One guy from the party that... And it's just another trip is all you do it.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Later you go in and pick them up, and how are you going to ask them for, how about the $300 for the trip back in? It's pretty tough.
Oh, yeah.
They lost their friends. So,
absolutely.
Normally you say, you know, you don't have to pay this. Most of them will pay you anyway.
Right.
But it's just that feeling of you're helping somebody.
Right.
And that's what Kodiak's about. Right. We don't have any super highways.
I wonder if that's why, you know, it never seemed like Mark Air Express fit in real good. They were here for, what, 4 years, but they... You know, they rotated their pilots through here so fast, you never got to know them, you know. And, I mean, there was some good pilots, but some guys that stayed on for a while, but you never really got to know some of the younger guys.
Well, they were pretty independent, you see. I guess I never got along with Neil Burt. I mean, I wasn't impressed with his business ways, and that's not really talking good aviation, but I'm afraid that with all his upbringing and all that, something failed there, whether it was his management or whether it was the pilots or whether the employees were driving them nuts money-wise, wage-wise, health contracts-wise, I don't know.
Yeah.
We had some pretty nice fellas here at times. When we got down to, say, the 207s, we were doing pretty good.
Yeah.
And those guys would mostly stay a little friendly.
Right.
I know one of them's flying for Pan Air right now.
Right, right.
He always was pretty friendly.
Yeah.
But it seems like in that outfit, if you had a problem, like say the engine quit and you put it down, you're fired.
Yeah.
There was no line. Well, hey, the engine quit and that's the only place I had to go. Oh, sorry, you're fired.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
Right.
You got to run a business better.
Right. Well, you've seen a lot of those guys come and go too. Ween and Mark Air and Air is in here now, and Alaska comes in now, and
Ryan was in here.
Ryan,
yeah.
Ryan was in the Northern Air cargo hangar.
Right.
Yep.
When Seahawk moved over to that area, Ryan came in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked Ryan.
Yeah.
They were a good outfit, and they seemed to be good. A lot of my friends flew for them.
Yeah.
Little Bobby and Gareth, the guys that are going, but I guess we'll never know what occurred with that action except icing.
Yeah.
And it's a shame.
The one in Homer. Yeah, with
one in Homer when they went down.
Jack Couchy and a lot of Kodiak people,
I guess.
Yeah.
And I sat home and I had been talking to Bob, the pilot, before they left. They had full passengers. They had Max in the baggage. I never heard the end of it. I heard that they were within 100 pounds of gross weight, but I never found out if it was over or under.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I could call the MTSB and get a copy.
That's the one that they started on. If you had to ask the passengers their actual weight, because in Alaska they said that passengers were so, I guess they were saying we were fat. But they said that Alaska passengers,
and they wear more clothing.
Right.
A big man who say weighs 200 now weighs 210 or 215.
Right.
So that's where they upped that 5 pounds in there.
Right.
Or I guess it was five.
Yeah.
Was it 170 in the summer or 180 in the winter or something?
Right. Right.
And I know when they left there, I had talked to them. I drove down here. I watched them take off. Went home, watching the football game. I guess it was sun was on that time. I think it was football. And suddenly they had the flash at the halftime.
Yeah.
So I called out here and they said, yeah, it went down.
Huh.
And there wasn't much to do,
Yeah. John, you mentioned John Ball. He's a longtime Alaskan that that a lot of people may not know about.
John Ball is Fred Ball's dad.
Right.
John Ball's up in his years now. He's in his 70s, I don't know. Yeah.
No, he's related to the Ball, there's
the
like four or five of them from Anchorage.
Well, area. Albert's brother.
Right.
He used to run Kodiak Western in Dillingham.
Uh-huh.
And then there's, Johnny is Fred Ball's dad. And then there's Jerry and Newt and Bert and... They all fly,
right,
every one
right.
of them, except Newt, I think.
Right. Well, they had North Pacific Transport for a while. They were
right.
hauling fish off the beach.
And then they
beach.
Were going to buy Wilbur's.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
I talked to Ann Wilbur when I was in Aerotech a few months back. I'd never met her.
Uh-huh.
I knew her husband. And she's just taking her, what was it, instrument instructor exam.
Uh-huh.
And I know she's in her 60s, late 60s.
Wow.
But she keeps at it. So
yeah.
She likes to do it. Real nice lady. And I told her, I'm sure I'd met her years back. She said, boy, you're familiar, but I never went over there that much. I knew the husband, but I didn't know her.
Right.
But the Balls have been flying for years.
Yeah.
Johnny Ball's an exceptional pilot. Now he doesn't fly. His eyesight's getting a little bad. His coordination's getting a little off. And the thing I liked about Johnny, and I worked with him 2 years in King Salmon, he's a very knowledgeable pilot. But the time that I took off out of Pilot Point, because he has Sunday off, and I had a lot of load for him, so I went down there, and it was a little froggy around the airport. And I'd been there a couple of times, usually on the airport directing salmon. I said, John, if I was getting a little scuzzy, and he said, yeah, just go out and make a hook a right at Dago Lake. And I looked at him, and I said, oh, yeah, sure. And after I got in the airplane, I looked at the chart, and I said, Dago Lake? I never heard of it. And then it's just right up to the Pilot Point.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the old PBY sat for years and years that they finally got out of there and put in the...
Museum?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I flew over it all the time, you know.
Yeah.
I never knew it was Dago Lake.
Well, they call that the plane the Lady of Dago Lake or something like that.
Yeah. And I'd like, next time I'm going to Anchorage, I want to look at it.
Yeah.
Because I was really impressed, as good as it looked from the air.
Yeah.
But Johnny Ball's a good pilot. Johnny Ball's had a few accidents. The one thing about Johnny Ball is he never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
He's had engine failures on takeoff, wind shifts that shouldn't have occurred, people upside down. I think he got hurt worse than anybody.
Yeah.
Last time, while I was over there, he tried to get off some gravel bar and it didn't work and the plane went upside down. So when some guy with a 185 hauled him out of there,
uh-huh.
And we had caribou, hunters, you know. We waited all out. It was well within limits.
Huh.
And the fuel was well within limits. And one fellow walked around holding his back for the whole day, and I said, what's the matter with you? Well, I said, I think I hurt my back. And I said, well, that's too bad. I said, what do you do in the Air Force? Because I knew he was Air Force. He said, well, I'm a clerk typist. And I said, yeah, I had the same problem because I was a yeoman for 20 some years, and you know, you get a back pain year from sitting in a chair that way.
Yeah.
And we never had a lawsuit out of it.
Yeah.
We never had a lawsuit out of any of them. The last time I went down there to show aviation and people, Johnny was coming into Igigik, which is halfway between King Salmon and Pilot Point. And the habit was we would go in the village, gun the engine once, keep right on going, turn for landing. And by that time, the agents would come up and get the cargo and mail and all this. Well, he did that, but the engine quit. And he couldn't make it to the runway, so he sort of landed out in the field, and the plane got a little twisted. And they got Johnny Ball out of there all right, and the village people went out there and picked up everything that was available. every egg that wasn't broken.
Huh.
Everything.
Wow.
And when I got there with Dale Moore, who was the chief pilot at the time, they had it all neatly laid out in their little post office. And I think we lost a half crate of eggs.
Yeah.
And one bent TV antenna.
Huh.
And that was it.
Hmm.
And I looked at Dale and I said, you know what, Dale, I'll probably kiss you if Johnny Ball can even walk up there. I hear he's still at the aid station. You better go down and look. Right? And here he came in his snowmobile suit with a big bandage over his nose, which his nose was broke. And I said, Johnny, how do you feel? And he said, well, I'm really hurt. I said, what do you mean? I was really excited. He said, look at my snowmobile suit. He said, my wife just bought it, now I tore it. So,
yeah.
We took him in the airplane to King Sam and put him on the jet flight to Cambridge. And nothing was wrong with him.
Yeah.
He broke his nose. But he never hurt anybody. Yeah. He was a good pilot.
So, and Fred was his son, and they Fred started ATS, and that ran for, what, 6 or 7 years?
Oh, yeah, a long time, and then yes. And Air slowly moved in.
Yeah.
ATS was a good outfit. I liked ATS. They had Mark Kozak then, and Fred, and there was another pilot involved there.
Well, Harvey was there, wasn't he?
Harvey was there, and it really ran well.
Yeah.
I think they had a good outfit going.
Yeah. Yep. Frank was there.
Frank came here later, I believe. Yeah.
He started out at Island Air, right?
I believe he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a good outfit.
Yeah.
I thought ATS was good. And then, of course, Penn Air wanted to move in, and that was sort of a make an agreement.
Right.
Another facility, and...
Yeah.
But that was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used ATS for, after Hal was gone, I used them for, going to Mother Goose Lake, for hunting.
Right.
And that was... They were real good.
Right.
Kozak was
sort
of my mind is exceptional.
Yeah, yeah, he was a real good pilot.
Of course, Freddie, I don't know, you can't. It'd be tough to knock him for being a pilot.
Oh yeah, he's a good pilot.
Sometimes I have to say you're too short to be a pilot, but no, he's a good pilot. I don't think we have a bad pilot on the island right now. I think we have some, from my observances, we have some people that I think need a little bit more enlightening or training.
Yeah, education. Oh yeah,
I think that.
Well, even I mean, you don't fly around here at all without learning. I mean, right. You learn continuously.
But I get a little upset when all the fish spotters come in. I hope that they've been here before.
Yeah.
There's horror stories from them.
Oh, absolutely.
But I don't know. I think aviation in Kodiak, in all the years I've been here, has always progressed towards the good.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever gotten bad.
Yeah.
I think we might have had lulls where things weren't working right or something, but I think the pilots, we're trying to get more seminars down here from the FAA. I'm not sure that's going to work, but in July they're going to hear me.
Uh-huh.
I think we need more education. I don't think, and you're a pilot, you got all the range, you know that if you go to one seminar and learn one thing, you learn something.
Right. Oh, yeah. You know? Absolutely.
Well, the guy that's been sitting back doing something wrong all these years suddenly said, geez, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It all helps.
Oh, yeah. So, let's see. That was ATS. There was Seahawk. They started after Flyrite. Pretty much Fred Patterson took over that.
Tom Walden.
Tom.
Yeah.
Yep.
I did do chief pilot duties while they were in existence.
Right.
And that was a good outfit.
Yep.
Then they started expanding, and I wasn't too sure.
Right.
They're still doing well.
Yeah.
They seem to be.
Yeah. What else?
Most of the outfits we have here now are doing pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't agree with all the pilot training they're doing. I don't believe that sometimes we get enough.
Yeah.
I think you need an owner to sit down with that particular pilot at some stage in the game and make sure of his limitations. Like old Clint Eastwood said, you know your limitations.
Yeah.
Some of the actions I've seen here should have never occurred. I'm not going to pick an outfit.
Right.
But the one guy who was mechanic, etc., should have never been out there.
Yeah.
And I hollered and screamed the whole time.
Yeah.
And I didn't get much out of anybody except one mechanic who said to me, well, he could have turned down the trip. That mechanic doesn't understand the pressure put on that pilot. And some of them are weaker than others.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, well, yeah, I can do that.
Right. Yeah, there is a certain element of macho-ness.
Right.
Yeah, that it pervades. More so these days, I think, than in the days past.
Yeah.
Days past.
And it's a shame. I see it all the time, and I'm one of those that walk up to a guy and say, "Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Why are you honestly out there risking your life when you got a wife and kids home in weather that I won't fly in?
Right.
I'd rather go home and have a hot cup of coffee than fighting this so-called 502.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know, and one guy comes in here and says, "Well, I'm near enough to traffic show now, I can get 1 mile clear of clouds, special." Because you're sick.
Yeah.
We have a bridge down there.
Yeah.
That people sometimes aren't sure until they see it. And it's no good.
Yeah.
It's no good at all. So I don't know how we're going to... History tells us that we're still losing pilots. And of all the years I've been here, with all the lectures I've given, with all the time to get up and tell people about stuff, with all the pilot instruction you give, one out of 100 is not going to listen.
Right.
And there's where the action starts.
Yep.
That's a shame.
Yep.
I can understand an engine quitting, and you can't quite turn around.
Yeah.
Take what you got.
Yep.
But I cannot understand going out in weather that no one needs to be out in.
Yeah. We've had our share of military crashes here, too, huh?
It's unreal.
The F-15, and then there was...
They got into F-14s, the Harriers with the Marines.
Yeah.
There's a big article in Navy Times about it.
Yeah.
And all the aviation experts are in there trying to figure out what went wrong.
Right.
Is it pilot technique or the aircraft?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know the one in Tennessee, I'm sure, was pilot error.
Yeah.
That's a show off for Dad, but it killed him.
Yeah.
There's no sense to it.
The star on Old Woman, that was...
I understand
now. A3D, was that what that was?
No, it was BC... There's a couple that's crashed up there.
Yeah.
The one that's at the end of the runway up here, that in the spring when you come up across the Buskin Bridge, if you look up there, you see silver.
Uh-huh.
About time you come up on the rise, like
right,
where you're coming towards Dean's Hangar, Silver
Bay. Right.
You look up there in the spring, before it really gets green, you'll see this metal.
Yeah.
Part way up. Now that was...
There, I guess it's running.
I think that was a P3. Maybe a P2, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, when I left Vietnam and I hit the States, there was a Navy detailer I met in Clark Air Force Base that had just been to Nam, and I know he'd been talking to the E-9s and E-8s, and I was just coming up on it, so they weren't too interested in me yet. And he says, "I understand you got orders of Kodiak." And I said, "I have no idea where it is." He says, "Well, it's just off the Middle Eastern chain there." He says, "Let me show you on a map." He showed me where it was. And I said, "That's it, that little rock?" He says, "That's it. But when you get there, and you get to Old Woman Mountain," he says, "just sort of salute it for me." I said, "What do you mean?" Well, he was on that plane that went in.
Oh, yeah.
There was four survivors.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was five that killed.
Yeah.
And he has traces of burns on his neck yet. He was burned. And when everybody got up there to rescue those guys, he was one of the first ones that they had a hand carry him down the mountain.
Uh-huh.
And he's the one guy that went into the stretcher and said, "Boy, this colored guy's really heavy." And he wasn't colored, he was burned.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see the scars on his neck.
Huh.
And he said, "So, saluted."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Nice fella. But he got beat up in it pretty
yeah.
bad. But he's Master Chief.
Yeah.
You know, nice fella. Before he had Master Chief. So,
Yeah, you could spend a long time just researching and talking to people and putting together names and and air services and the military and everything. I mean, it goes well past the 1,000-mile war. I mean, it just seemed to continue after that, you know.
And we had one of the last enlisted pilots here, Lou Drum.
Lou Drum? Yeah.
Yeah. He lived down in Santa Maria, California, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His avocado trees in his backyard.
Huh.
And oranges.
Yeah. Yeah, he was an E-9 AD.
Right.
Yep. In the Navy.
We stopped
pilot.
To see him, and he got upset because every time an orange would fall off his tree, the dog would get it and take it and chew it. Why is that dog doing that? I said, Willie likes oranges. Oh, okay. And that was the end of it.
Yeah.
But he's a nice fellow. I've flown with him several times.
Yeah.
In the old Navy, we had a C-54.
Uh-huh.
And I flew with him one time to Anchorage. And I got on his crew. So really all I had to do was sit in the bunk there. And we fly. And he says, Jack, come up here. He said, I'll let you fly the airplane for a while. I said, really? And he had a lieutenant commander in the left seat at the time. He says, Commander, why don't you go get a cup of coffee? I want to show Jack how to fly a C-54. This guy got up and said, sure, no problem. And he's standing behind me by then with a cup of coffee. And I'm sitting in the pilot seat saying, wow, that was the old Navy.
Yeah.
Now you better let him back in. We got to start the approach.
Yeah.
Yep. But everybody looked out for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, if you had a kid downtown that seriously broke their legs and they couldn't do anything here because at the time we didn't have a big hospital, that old C-54 would trundle towards Anchorage or the Coast Guard. At that time we only had, you guys had the, what you call the goat.
Right. Yeah, the old Albatross.
The Albatross.
Garmin HU-16.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Navy had them.
Right.
But we call them an Albatross. We call them a UF-1 if I know.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
And, so that's the only way you got the Anchorage out of here, unless a commercial flight happened to be here.
Right.
You know, unless wings.
Right. And that's changed too, you know. And now they got the Life Flight and the Lear jets and the Coast Guard doesn't.
They're pretty nice, but that's $5,000 a crack.
Oh yeah.
Right now.
Yep.
If you get busted up and you go on that one, it's $5,000 out of your money somewhere.
Right.
It's not free.
Yeah.
They have come in here. Was it last year? Some girl was real sick, and they weren't sure that she was going to live. And after they got her to Providence, they were able to save her, and Lifeguard wouldn't bill her.
Yeah.
And I thought, why? You know, but they said, well, it was just one of them things.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Huh.
But I looked at the company and said, wow, that's $5,000 they didn't get.
Yeah, right.
But they're human, too.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
I mean, look at this place here, we get coffins out of here every day almost.
Yeah.
You know, lately. But then the airlines are good to the people.
Right.
You know, as long as you're talking aviation. When Oscar Dyson and Jim Fisk died out here, Alaska flew them to Anchorage and back free.
Right. Yeah.
Prominent citizen.
Yeah.
If you're real sick, they'll give you a free ticket.
Yeah. Well, it was the same with the Mesquite Chalet crash, you know, the memorial, a lot of memorial stuff was in Anchorage, and they gave a free ride to just about everybody that wanted to go up there. So I noticed too, ERA, the school kids fly in ERA for free, all over the place, you know, for their wrestling matches and that kind of stuff. So that's a pretty good
deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me just put my radio back in case you're calling.
Yeah, I gotta head back too, Jack.